This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Major League Baseball spring training underway with the Great Food League and the Cactus League action beginning this weekend. The defending world champion Los Angeles Dodgers are the favorites to win the World Series. The Yankees are 6-1. Atlanta Braves, San Diego Padres both 9-1. White Sox 9-1. And the Mets are 12-1. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, Paul Sporer of Fangraphs talked about his two bets to collect the most hits this year in Major League Baseball.
This one surprises me that it's 75 at William Hill. Juan Soto is at 75-1 for the most hits.
I would not have guessed that. Wow. Okay.
I mean, that's a brilliant hitter there. That seems way too long. I'm taking that all day. It's not even a question for me on that one.
He's still 75-1. That's updated. Yep.
I mean, that's huge. And then, you know, on something like this, getting a piece of Coors is always a good idea. Yeah. I think Trevor Story at 100 is still nice. You know, batting average isn't as much his game as it is, say, Blackman's or even Nolan Arenado's, but he still has that capability. And basically what you're trying to bet on with something like Story is that his road numbers don't fall too far behind, right? If he can hit like a 280 on the road and then go off for like, you know, 330 plus at home, which is a big number, but it's Coors, that's how you're going to get there. You need his road numbers to not dip below a certain level, or else it just puts too much burden on what he's doing on the road.
FanGraphs Paul Sporer on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, heard weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSiN. Point Spread Weekly editor Steve Mackinen joined Brady Cannon and Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi Line to discuss a college basketball end-of-season betting trend to keep an eye on as the regular season winds down.
I've done this piece the last 2 years, and I have to keep doing it because it's just it's been so successful for me, and I know a lot of readers have followed this too. Power conference handicapping in the last 2 weeks of the season, home court advantage picks up quite a bit. There's been some teams that have really set themselves apart from the rest of the field as far as really being on top of their game at this time of year. And in general, I mean, just because it's the end of the season, you got a different form of handicapping, I think, that you need to have going into these games. Okay, one of the most concrete things that I think I drew from this is my list of the top 14 teams. As far as these 14 teams have won 70% of their games over the final 2 weeks of the regular season of the power conferences. All 14 of those teams have had the same coach in place during that run. So I think that cannot be coincidental. These teams play their best ball at this time of the year, getting ready for March and the tournaments to come.
Point Spread Weekly editor Steve Mackinen on the Lombardi Line, heard weekdays noon to 2 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. 14 teams from the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, Pac-12, and the Big East have won 70% of their games in the final 2 weeks of the regular seasons in the past 5 years. Those same teams have gone 154-99 against the spread. A top team, Oregon, 17-1 straight up and 14-3 against the spread. Number two, Virginia, 18-2, 13-7 against the spread. For the entire list, read Steve Mackinen's article in this week's Point Spread Weekly at VSiN.com. VSiN experts are analyzing all of the hoops, hockey, tennis, soccer action each day to make you a sharper better. Right now, you can get everything VSiN has to offer from now through the College Hoops Final for just $50. Invest in your sports betting success and start your special offer now at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSiN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSiN.com today. Hey.
Our VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Las Vegas and from sportsbooks across the country to help you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and analysis that matter to sports bettors. We are always on for you with TV, radio, and digital coverage. Get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guides for under $50 from now through the College Hoops Finals. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up for this special offer today.
Welcome into the pregame show. I'm your host, Amal Shah, alongside Wes Reynolds. Wes, good morning. Terrific college basketball Saturday on tap. Let's start with a game I know you're going to have your eye on today at Assembly Hall between Michigan and Indiana. This has a closing line of around 8. IU is going to be without Amon Franklin tonight in this match, or today in this matchup. How much of an impact will he be being out have?
You would think it would have a huge impact, but judging by the market, this is going to close 7 even some places. I took 8.5 last night just because, look, all of my IU brethren are underconfident. It's like, okay, this is 8. They're going to win by like 20 here, Michigan, because obviously Indiana last two times out have not been very good. They've had big leads in both games against Michigan State, and then they were up 23-8 against Rutgers. Gave up a 62-27 run. It was 70-50 at the under 4-minute timeout in Piscataway in the second half. But this is the type of game where Indiana has tended to rise up a little bit. If you look just in this season, when all hope looks lost, Amal,
right,
they seem to play a very good game against a good team. They beat Iowa when all hope was lost after they had lost at home to Purdue, went to Iowa City and won. They actually did that twice this year in the sweep of the Hawkeyes. So I took 8.5. I mean, not with a strong conviction, but thought that was a little high. This is going to close 7, so not a lot of adjustment with the Armon Franklin injury.
Yeah, and if you're interested in betting on this game, you still have an opportunity maybe potentially at your book because this game hasn't started. It's on Fox, and it's supposed to be a noon slate, but being on Fox, it'll probably start about 3 p.m. It's so annoying every Saturday to do this with these games. I mean, like, dude, we got the 2 hours timed out. It's vitally important from a betting perspective. Get these games going. Get them started. Already 9:07. We're looking at Tennessee right now. They're already approaching the under 4 media timeout. They lead down on the plane right now, 8-3. Remember, Auburn without Sharif Cooper, huge blow to this team. He is their offense. They're going to have to rely on freshmen like AJ Thor to have an effective day as he knocks in a jumper right now, 8-5 in favor of the Big Orange.
Yeah, and Tennessee, this did rise up to about 8.5 under, also got bet to as low as 141 at BetMGM. So, you know, we've seen it when Sharif Cooper got with Auburn. The offense was a lot better, and Bruce Pearl was willing to run a more up-tempo game and kind of used to what we're seeing out of Auburn. But we'll see if they slow it down here a little bit. I didn't get involved in this game. It's kind of so hard midstream to just adjust your tempo this late in the season.
I tend to agree with you. Speaking of orange, let's talk about the burnt orange. Probably in the early matchup of the day between Texas and Texas Tech, this one up in Lubbock right now, it is the burnt orange leading the Red Raiders 7-5. This is an important game for Texas here. Revenge spot. Remember, Mac McClung hit a game-winning jumper down at the Frank Irwin Center earlier this year in January to give the Red Raiders the win over Texas. I like Texas Tech in this spot, Wes. This line got bet up to 4. I think the Red Raiders are at home, a different team. They've lost 3 in a row. I think it's a good opportunity for them to get back on track.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is kind of the spot for them. Texas kind of stopped the bleeding a little bit with that overtime win against Kansas, but 3 losses in a row for the Red Raiders. This is a team, this is kind of now when you got to think they're going to get going. It's just somebody other than Mac McClung's got to make shots.
Well, you know, I think sometimes the problem is with McClung, he gets a little bit too engaged with himself and doesn't get Shannon and other guys offensively involved when there's an opportunity. They're going to have to do a better job of that one if they're going to be successful down the stretch here. This should be, to me, the early marquee game of the day. I also want to see how Jones and Ramey respond. Remember that little dust-up last week, and they had critical in that loss against West Virginia. They held an 18-point lead in the second half. And to blow an 18-point lead at home, that's just inexcusable. And Wes, when you look at it, This is a West Virginia team that has come back twice on the road in the Big 12 at Stillwater and at Austin against these teams. Really impressive job. So we'll see if Texas can hold on today and get a W on the road here in Lubbock. Game taking place right now in Atlanta. Fast start by the Yellow Jackets right now as they lead Syracuse 15-5. And I'll tell you what, Jim Boeheim's team continues to struggle away from the Carrier Dome.
Yeah, they do. And you got to think both of these two teams are kind of the bubblicious variety, if you will, going on here. Georgia Tech, I think you look at their record, they've given a couple games away, too. They gave away that game against Clemson. They gave away a game against Virginia earlier this season. And that's what's really put them on the bubble, I think, going forward. I think Georgia Tech probably in like that first four out or next four out, whatever the terminology is. I think Syracuse probably a little bit more comfortable, but not set for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. They're already trailing by 12 points. This game's not even 4.5 minutes old. The total was 143.5, I believe, in this matchup, Wes. 144.5 here at the South Point. Tech minus 5. If you got Georgia Tech, you are off to a fast start in this one. So keep you posted on the games in progress right now. I want to go to a game that's going to take place today at the Kohl Center. Normally speaking, we know how tough Wisconsin is at home, but this has not been the same team this year. But you look at the Illini, they come in without Io DeSunmu, who's probably the runner-up for the Big Ten Player of the Year. He's been outstanding, going to be a first-team All-American. The best closer, in my opinion, in college basketball. Out with a fracture to the nose. So that's going to be a big blow for the Illini, who are now catching 5 in this one.
Yeah, I did lay a money line last night with Wisconsin. Now it's up to 210 as the line is up to 5. I actually laid, I believe, $1.75. Wisconsin, look, they have been down this year, and I think I mean, not substantially down, but their big guys, I think, are the reason why, is because if you recall that game against Michigan where Michigan was coming off the COVID layoff, Wisconsin got off to a really good start. It was a double-digit lead right at halftime. The combination of Micah Potter and Nate Reavers did not have one rebound against Hunter Dickinson.
Well, I mean, Wes, hold on a second. I mean, I don't like that reasoning. I mean, when guys are 6'10", 6'11", it's not easy.
Right. I mean, in the Big Ten, I mean, that's too much expected, I guess, to have them get rebounds. But Wisconsin, 16-8. Now, they did win at Northwestern, stopped the bleeding a little bit, had two losses in the Kohl Center. And actually, I think they have three or four home losses Ten play.
Well, remember,
when does that ever happen?
Exactly. To your point, Michigan got them, Ohio State got them, Maryland got them, and there's one other game that I'm forgetting right
Maryland.
Now. Maryland, and there was a fourth
Ohio
one.
Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa.
Iowa's the other one. Okay. And, you know, to me, when you looked at Wisconsin, outside of Duke and Kansas, Carolina usually just had better teams than everybody. I don't know if there's a bigger home court advantage than those aforementioned teams than going to the Kohl Center. I mean, it was just an automatic double. You could play the money line on Wisconsin all season long. At worst, you're going to lose one game.
Right.
But this is a completely different team right now.
Yeah, they don't call it the Kohl Center for reasons. I mean, not just because of that, but because of the style Wisconsin plays. A little bit of clutching and grabbing of the screeners and cutters down low, but they've let that go in the conference for about 20 years, so I guess why start calling it now? But I do like them today against Illinois. This is the last game of the season. I know Senior Day, I always like to handicap this angle, but Senior Day obviously is so subdued,
right,
with no spectators. But if you look at Wisconsin, they've got 6 seniors on this roster. 5 of them play regular minutes, but you know, kind of an emotional day, and usually I like to go against teams, actually, especially if it's at a really good program, because it's such an emotional day, but without the spectators there and not really much pomp and circumstance, maybe the home teams are going to do better on senior days this year.
Yeah, this is one to keep an eye out for. To me, usually it's a good opportunity on senior day, but again, as you said, no crowd. Just it's not the same in terms of the festivities, but just something to look out for as you're kind of making your bets on Saturday. LSU at Arkansas today. Revenge spot here for the Razorbacks. They got revenge against Alabama. I was really surprised that people were taking Alabama on the road in that particular spot. Now the Razorbacks, big number here, Wes, at 5.5. I still think when you look at this LSU team, Thomas and Smart, outstanding offensive players. But Will Wade's team does not play defense. Mm-hmm. Have not, will not. I don't know if it's just their motto or what. But and when you get this team away from the Pete Maravich Center, completely different team. Now going into the butt. Remember, Arkansas's only loss this year at home was against Missouri, who came off of a loss and bounced back well. I like Arkansas here. I'm not sure about the 5.5.
Yeah, and I went against LSU on Tuesday. They were laying, I think, 5 at Georgia. Yeah. I just thought, I can't lay points on the road with a team that is not very good defensively. And plus, you were getting LSU off that high of putting over 100 on Auburn. So thought that was a bad spot. It proved to be Georgia 191-78. But now getting, you know, even some sixes in the market. Arkansas is off a high, too, beating Alabama, who I think has clearly proven that they're the best team in the SEC going forward. And, you know, Arkansas is on a bit of a roll here. Do they get a little fat and happy after beating Florida and Alabama at home? Now they get LSU and think, okay, this is going to be a little bit easier pickings. Kind of lean to the Tigers in the spot.
Yeah, the 5.5 is a little bit of a high number, but remember, Bud Walton, they have some fans there. I just think this team with Musselman, he's such a great coach. They always find ways to be resilient. I like them in this spot. Again, you mentioned it. LSU, we saw them struggle on the road at Georgia. I think this could be a similar situation. 5.5, though, seems like a little bit of a tough number for me. I'm going to stay away from that.
One thing I will bring up to Justin Smith, the Indiana transfer. Arkansas, I believe, has lost, what, 5 games this season. In games where he's played, they've only lost 2 of those. So I think they're like, what, 17-2 or somewhere around there or, with Justin Smith in the lineup. He has proven to be a very good transfer for them, 18-2 rather. I mean, just gives them consistent numbers, and I think that that's a void on Indiana's team now at Arkansas.
Wes, want a couple of update, a couple of games in progress. Right now in Chicago, DePaul trailing against Georgetown, 13-6 in favor of the Hoyas, 12:45 to go there in the first half. And I'm watching this game, Wes. I'll tell you what, outside of Charlie Moore, this team has nobody. They can't shoot the basketball. It's amazing to me that Dave Lato keeps getting recycled and staying in DePaul. You're in the city. You should be able to get a couple of decent players.
Well, Javon Freeman Liberty not going today due to concussion protocol. And you're absolutely right. DePaul is very much down on talent. And they've been trying to figure it out in terms of how do we keep these city kids at home, or at least some of them. You're not going to keep all of them because Chicago is a fertile recruiting ground. But it's, I don't want to say it's a tough place to recruit in terms of not having talent available. It's tough in the fact that recruiting is a relationship business, as you know. And you've got to be having the relationship with all those AAU coaches and all the different runners and the like up there. And that's tough to do to keep these kids at home now.
Well, listen, I think it starts with head coaching, right? I mean, personality is vital. You know, some of these guys that are head coaches, you look at them and you can say, I don't think this guy's going to be able to close a door. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is Lato is exactly that to me. I look at him. He's not a guy that I would hire as my head coach. He's not going to be able to bring in guys. And I'm watching this game right now. It's just horrendous. They look like they don't have a semblance of an offense. It's just absolutely pathetic. And for a team that's got a rich history, they should be way better than they are right now.
And they've got a new arena right near campus than the Wintrust Arena. They used to, of course, had to play the games in what I call the Rosemont Horizon, now the Allstate Arena on the other side of town. And you would think, okay, they've got a little bit more resources now. And DePaul, obviously, they started late, too. I think they were one of the latest starters in the entire season due to COVID-19. Their first game did not come until December, because December 23rd, actually, was their first game against Western Illinois. So they've been all out of whack all season.
Couple of quick updates. IU leading Michigan 8-7. They're at the under-16 media timeout, 15:45 to go there. Good one right now down on the plains between Auburn and Tennessee. It is Auburn leading 13-11. And here's the interesting thing on this game, Wes. I know Sharif Cooper is out in this matchup. That's obviously a big deal. But to me, the one thing is that I just don't understand this line being 7.5, 8.5. That was the same number initially at Vanderbilt. Even with Pippen in the junior lineup, Dyson in the lineup, I don't think that's the same team compared to Auburn at home getting 8.5 here. I thought this number's too high.
Yeah, I did too. And Tennessee is a trouble. I did not play this, but Tennessee has trouble scoring. And that's what we've seen defensively. They're almost as good as anybody in the country, but they just have not figured out that mix. They've got a couple talented 5-star freshmen and a couple seniors, and they have really fallen on hard times in terms of scoring the ball. They do not shoot the ball particularly well, but they're a really good defense, and that's what's kept them in games. And that's why I thought maybe early January, okay, maybe this is a team, maybe this could be a Final Four team. And I think they've kind of been disappointing at 16-6 and just rated 25 because they just don't have that consistent offense. The defense is good, but you can't just rely on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Defensively, we know how stout they can be, just giving up about 41% a game from the opponent's field goal percentage. But offensively, lack of consistency. You know, Victor Bailey, the Oregon transfer, has not necessarily gelled into the player that he may have thought he was. Luke Fulkerson, remember, all SEC member last year, has struggled at times this year. He's got to get better if this big orange team is going to make a push as we get later into SEC play. I know we're going to get into some more games, but Wes, speaking of the SEC, as we get towards the SEC tournament, is there any team to you that you'd like to be able to win the tournament? Because for me, I think a dark horse that nobody's talking about, Big Blue Nation.
You read my mind, Amal. I actually do kind of like Kentucky because, look, if you look at Kentucky in past years, with all of, sometimes they go right out of the gate. Cal just has the right mix of guys.
Yeah.
But most years, they don't get going until February, and then all of a sudden they're going to start to play really good basketball. The defense, I think, has been solid. They're not a very good shooting team, but the offense has been better the last few games. Watching what they did to Tennessee last Saturday, they just completely took Tennessee out of their game plan and got a lead and were able to hold on. You know, Kentucky, I don't know how many spectators will be able to travel to these tournament sites,
sure.
but you know, they always call it Catlanta or Catville, wherever they go in the South, they always have the most spectators. So, look, I think there's some confidence with this group right now. And you've got some teams that aren't used to being at the top of the league, like Alabama and Arkansas. Now they get in taller cotton when they get in the SEC tournament. So I absolutely think there's value on Kentucky.
Yeah, I think this team is still very dangerous. Davion Mintz really coming on right now, three of the last four games in double digits. If you can get him shooting the ball with B.J. Boston, if Askew just runs the point and you get Olivier Saar involved as well, I think this team becomes extremely dangerous. And the one thing I always love about Florida State, Baylor, and Carolina and Kentucky, length. Wes, these guys are all airport team members.
You said exactly what I was thinking. It was like they stepped off the bus. It's like, who the hell is beating these guys?
Yeah, absolutely right. Their length to present such a problem, especially when you're looking to get shots. And you see so many players alter what would be normal shots just because they're fearful of a blocked shot. It's just unbelievable what you see out of that team defensively. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit more college hoops, but we'll also get into a little bit of NBA. Chris Andrews, main bookmaker here at the South Point, is going to join us. We'll find out where the money's coming in here next on the Pregame Show. Love live in-game action? Then download the free Odds Trader app right now. Start winning with up-to-the-second information that you need. Joining us right now is the head bookmaker here at the South Point, Chris Andrews. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Amal. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, my friend. What's going on right now betting-wise? Where are you seeing money coming in? Is it college basketball, NBA? I know we got a marquee matchup, at least on paper, between the Mavericks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
Now, right now, we got some money in the NBA. Really, the Wizards are the only side that's gotten bet. We got a little money on the Spurs and Pelicans over. But otherwise, they're mostly looking at college basketball so far.
And, Chris, we'll get started with a couple of the games that have gone on early. Michigan and Indiana. Michigan, by the way, 19-14 in Bloomington 12 minutes ago in the first half. This took a little bit of money, at least looking at the screen the other way. I got to think most of the tickets were on Michigan. Indiana down a starter, and obviously Michigan looking at that number one seed.
Well, we got money on Michigan. Naturally, the parlays, all that sort of stuff is definitely on Michigan. Ticket count, I don't know what you had in mind, Wes, but it's about 7-1 in favor of Michigan. It's pretty significant. And a lot of Michigan money line play, both straight and on the parlays. And I think you're right. I think Michigan, I don't know if they can afford to lose. Yeah, they might, but I still think they're going to get a number one seed almost no matter what. But, you know, so there's some motivational questions there, but that doesn't seem to be stopping them at any time. They're playing some terrific basketball right now.
Yeah, Chris, I agree with you. I think they're almost assured of being a number one seed, barring a couple of catastrophic injuries or just losing every game the rest of the way. I think this team's going to wind up as a one seed as well. In terms of the futures market for college basketball, Baylor and Gonzaga, obviously no surprise, the big favorites. Any other teams that are catching interest from people, from bettors?
Well, Michigan, yeah. We kind of got caught napping a little bit, really on a couple teams. Houston, we got caught on for a little bit. They've played much better than I expected. But I would say Houston, Michigan, there's a couple other ones that, aren't great for us, but they're not terrible. But those are probably the two who I think are very, very live that we have to beat. And then there's another one. I don't know what their chances are, but that's pretty good on Colorado. So I know they're pretty good. I don't think they could win a championship, but they could win a couple of games in this tournament, I think.
Chris, you put out a couple props I believe a day or two ago at the South Point. Things about tournament futures, you went ahead and put one up here. Gonzaga and Baylor, the clear 1-2 so far pretty much throughout the entire season, also included Villanova in the mix. And those three teams against the field, I think you opened at 110, but you saw action early on with the three teams, that being Gonzaga, Baylor, and Villanova.
Yeah, we got up to as high as $1.50. We're down to $1.45, so we got back a little bit of money on the field from some respected players. So I think we've kind of settled in now at a pretty good number. But I thought Pick'em was good. Nick Bogdanovich, one of my dear friends and I think one of the sharpest bookmakers out there, he used just Baylor and Gonzaga, and he opened at Pick'em. They bet him the field against those two teams. So last I checked, which was yesterday, he was at the field was a quarter over the two teams. Now, I just wanted to get a number that was close to Pick'em. So I threw in Villanova, who I think is got like a puncher's chance. They've won two championships in, the very recent past. They've been pretty inconsistent. But if they play their best ball, I think they got a little bit of a chance. And I think, to me, that made the number Pick'em. Obviously, the customers disagree with me. So they came in on the three teams pretty strong. But now we are starting to get back the money the other way. So I think we've settled into a pretty good price.
Chris, we got about a minute left here. NBA, obviously the Lakers still the odds-on favorite, but it seems like there's starting to be a little bit of a shift from perspective. Brooklyn playing well with the acquisition of Harden. Philadelphia's coming on strong in the West. Utah's been dominant. Have you guys been taking some money on some of these teams for the futures?
Yeah, Utah was another team. I really kind of liked them going into this year, and I thought I was keeping them pretty low. But they've really exceeded expectations, not just winning games, but covering numbers. So we're in a little bit of trouble with the Jazz, but, we got a ways to go yet. And I still think the Lakers are going to be heard from once they get healthy. So, we'll see what happens. We've got a little ways to go, though.
That's Chris Andrews, head bookmaker here at the South Point. If you haven't read his book, author of Then One Day, pick it up, check it out. It'll be a real enjoyable read if you just like gambling or just about Vegas and the state of Nevada in general. And that's going to do it for this segment. When we come back, we'll get into some more college hoops here on the Pregame Show. Here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and draft choices. To help you become a sharper better or on every game on the board, we're not just about picks and predictions. We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bet emails, point spread weekly guides, up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and, of course, all access to VSiN.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops Tournament for only $50 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Let's take a look at college basketball right now. Let's start in the Big Ten between Indiana and Michigan. It is Indiana leading against the Michigan. Let me correct myself. Michigan leading against Indiana 22-19. I was influenced by you sitting next to me. I didn't want to say anything negative about the Hoosiers. So,
no, please do.
9 minutes to go here in the first half, and already Indiana just called for their sixth team foul while Michigan just has two.
Yeah, and you made the point over break. We were talking about this. Michigan does not foul a lot, so they usually will have them to give if they have to at the end of the half. And look, the length, and you can see they're showing the replay. Hunter Dickinson, every bit the freshman of the year in this conference, just tough to score against, and Trace Jackson Davis having trouble with his length.
Well, you know, there's probably three, four guys in this league right now that would be player of the year if Luka Garza wasn't having right. One of the best seasons in Big Ten history. I mean, you know, Ayo Dosunmu is he's probably the number two player of the year in terms of nationally, forgetting the Big Ten.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at a Jackson Davis, who should probably be first-team All-Big Ten, and Hunter Dickinson giving him all kind of problems. But Indiana trying to hang in there. Indiana, of course, kind of in that first four out, really on the bubble. I don't think a win here would lock them in, but it would put them in a lot better position. Even though with the 12-11 record, I still think they'd be in the tournament today as Trace Jackson Davis throws down a big slam and one, trying to tie the game in Bloomington.
I tell you what's tough when you watch these basketball games, and it's so frustrating as players, I can only imagine, but as fans as well, is when you see these fouls called for guys just standing vertically. These refs assume too many foul calls. It's just so frustrating. And, you know, I'm looking at some of these games right now, and you just see some of these calls. It's just unbelievable. I'm looking at the Texas Tech game. Right now, the burnt orange, leading against the Red Raiders, 19-16, West, 7:15 to go in the first half. Both of these teams struggling offensively.
Yeah, they are. And Texas Tech has been struggling offensively for several games now. We were talking about somebody else other than Mac McClung's got to make some shots for this team.
Yeah, by the way, quick breaking news from the NFL. It looks like they've reached a deal for Thursday night games with Amazon Prime. So you're going to have to be kind of tuning in on that one if you're going to want to watch those Thursday night games. Let's go to a couple of the games right now. Wes, you and I talked about this off-air a little bit. Tennessee struggling offensively. They're trailing right now down on the plains. Auburn leading 23-19, 6:11 to go in the first half here. I'm not saying Tennessee can't win this basketball game, but 8.5, big number, especially after Auburn got embarrassed against the Gators. Good bounce-back spot for them catching 8.5 at home.
Yeah, it is, and I ended up not being involved, but I did think that was a little bit of a high number. But clearly with Auburn, they have really struggled without Cooper. All of a sudden you have him, and he adds a whole new dynamic to your offense. And then I worried that maybe they were going to get a little stagnant against a very good Tennessee defense. But 6 minutes left to go first half, Auburn 23-20 over the Vols.
Yeah, I want to ask you real quick off the top of your head, Wes, can you think of any team that offensively is probably more reliant on one player than Auburn is on Sharif Cooper?
He's got to be near the top. Really, I think he totally changed their dynamic, because if you looked at Auburn early in the year, they were playing a little bit slower tempo because this is a young team. They got hit hard by graduation and also by guys going into the NBA draft. And, you know, once he got there, it really just changed the dynamic. All of a sudden, they were on this big overstreak. They were scoring in the 80s again. Now they're up to 38th in tempo. They were in the high 100s, low 200s. Back in December, but now that they got him eligible, was able to added just a new dynamic. But so far they're doing okay without him. 5-point lead, 5 minutes left to go in the first.
Well, this game's going to be interesting because as we get towards the half, Tennessee just knocks down a 3-pointer there. For me, what's going to be the key is this one. I want to look at the field goal percentage to see how these teams are faring offensively, because I think the longer Auburn hangs around, they've got a much, much better chance to win this game. And Tennessee, for seeding purposes, they need to win this game. I mean, you look at them. They got off to a great start. People were talking about them as a potential national title contender, and they have just struggled throughout in the SEC. Highly inconsistent. They got run out by Kentucky last weekend at home. They've got to play better, more consistency.
Yeah, this was a team before the season I thought, okay, they're the favorite to win the SEC, and maybe they could be a Final Four team, because you look at the talent has been upgraded. Rick Barnes, they've been recruiting better down there, but just have been so erratic. I think that they absolutely have been a disappointment.
Yeah, Rick Barnes has done a terrific job up on Rocky Top. Wes, want to hit a few more games, and we'll get to the marquee game tonight at the Fog. Real quickly, though, good one in Oklahoma, the Red River. Red River, Bedlam. Boy, I almost insulted the people in Stillwater there, mentioning Red River instead of Bedlam. But Oklahoma State now in Lloyd Noble taking on Oklahoma. Boomer Sooner, 5-point favorite in this one, Wes. I am not as big of a believer. I love Lon Kruger as a coach. He's done a tremendous job. But I'm not as big of a believer in Oklahoma as other people are. I think 5 points with Cade Cunningham and company. I think this is a team that plays well when Cade is not on the floor. I think they're dangerous here today. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but I like them getting 5 here.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Credit to Oklahoma State, and the market I still think has been slow to give this team credit, because everybody knows about the NCAA tournament ban that they're still trying to appeal. So they think, okay, these guys are just going to mail it in. Cade Cunningham's only going to be there. He's a one and done. So this is going to go sideways, kind of like what happened at Memphis last year, when everybody thought was all over Memphis, and then James Wiseman gets hurt, and then he decides to forego his eligibility after a couple games. But Oklahoma State plays hard every single night. Like, they're all invested in this program. And I credit Mike Boynton, because he's gotten them to play and gotten them to focus amidst all the outside noise that's telling them that maybe they should be disappointing. They've won 3 in a row, 15-6. They're the first team outside the top 25. So I think that's big for them. They want to get ranked here. They haven't been ranked yet this season. So this is a big spot for them. If they beat Oklahoma and Norman, they certainly can do that. I thought 5 and 5.5 was generous.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Real quickly, I want to go back to your IU Hoosiers. I know you already know this, but I didn't realize Indiana has not made the NCAA tournament since 2017.
Right. They might have snuck in last year. They got that win over, I think, Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament, got them to 20 wins. But nevertheless, I mean, Indiana should not be a rebuild. It should be a retool here. And down 27-21, under 8-minute timeout.
Yeah, once everything reopens, one of the best places in America to watch a college basketball game, Assembly Hall. If you haven't been, get yourself there. It's a terrific place. When we come back, we'll get into some more college hoops, including the showdown at the Fog tonight. Baylor, KU. KU getting 5 at home. We discuss that next. Love live in-game action? Then download the free Odds Trader app right now. Start winning with up to the second information you need. Wes, let's just update everybody on what's going on right now. Michigan now with an opportunity to push this lead to double digits as Smith is at the free throw line for a 1-1 as we've got 5:53 to go in the first half. He knocks the first one down. Indiana's trailing 31-21 at home. Down on the plains, Tennessee and Auburn involved in a good one. 25 apiece right now, 3:48 to go in the first half. And how about this? Steven Gerrard. Gerrard at the free throw line for Syracuse right now. And Syracuse with the second free throw. Gerrard's about a 90% free throw shooter career-wise. He should knock it down, and he does. Syracuse now leads Georgia Tech 35-34. You're getting some of that great coaching out of Josh Pastner.
Yeah, and Josh Pastner, of course, was very vocal. He's like, well, I think the ACC should get 10 teams in every year. We're the best league. They're not this year. They're probably like the fourth or fifth best league. But obviously, trying to finagle his way in the tournament. But look, Georgia Tech has had their opportunities, and today was probably one of them. They got out big on Syracuse, haven't been able to let the lead hold here. So they've given a couple games away. So if they don't make the NCAA tournament, and you hear him on Selection Sunday kind of doing the Jim Boeheim and whining they didn't make the tournament, they got nobody to blame but themselves.
Well, you know, the problem with Boeheim is they scheduled nobody. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You got to schedule some people. They've got talent there. You look at that offense. Griffin's been a good acquisition, the transfer from Illinois. We know Buddy Buckets can flat-out play. This is a good scoring team. They've got some playmakers, but he's got to schedule some people. Let's go to a team not afraid to schedule. Florida State taking on North Carolina at the Dean Dome today. Florida State, a 3-point road favorite in this one. Important game, really, for both sides here. Florida State with an opportunity to win the ACC regular season title. Now the line's down to 1.5, total of 153. And North Carolina, this is a team that continues to struggle to shoot the basketball, mm-hmm. Wes. If they don't shoot the ball well, I think there could be some trouble here.
I did take the +3 here. It's now been bet down because I think North Carolina kind of got caught sleeping a little bit. They scheduled non-conference game with Marquette. Marquette went wire to wire. I think North Carolina just kind of got napping, and maybe you get a little bit of value, or you did have a little bit of value when you were taking +3 against Florida State. So I'm willing to kind of ignore that a little bit. It was just probably they didn't take them as seriously. You're stepping out of conference this late in the season. And, you know, Marquette gave a good effort and, you know, we're trying. And I think they caught the heels off guard. So I like the heels. See if this goes back to 3. That's where I took it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at the Syracuse game right now, Wes, and this is why I hate doing the show when we're on air, because in-game, Syracuse was catching 12.5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they have a 4-point lead right now. So many great opportunities. I think the Carolina game, that's why I brought it up. I think it's one where you're going to have an opportunity in-game. Somebody at some point in time is going to have a decent lead. Pay attention. Be patient if you don't like the pregame line and wait and take an opportunity with the in-game.
The pressure's going to get to these kids, especially these guys know where they stand. Don't think that they have their heads in the sand where it's like, okay, we don't know where we sit in terms of getting into the NCAA tournament. These kids hear all this stuff of like, okay, we're the last 4 in or whatever. So don't think that they don't know this. So the pressure, I think, gets to these kids this late in the season.
Well, also remember, they don't have the time to be hanging out with co-eds right now, unfortunately,
right,
because of the isolation. So you got a little bit more time to pay attention to the standings in college basketball. Wes, I want to go to the marquee game of the day tonight at the Fog, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific time, KU hosting Baylor. This is a team, when you look at them, they had their worst loss ever under Bill Self at home this year against Texas. But again, just they are just a different team. There's going to be some small group of fans there in that matchup. But this is going to be a tough one for Baylor going on the road. They're laying 5 in this particular spot. Total now down to 3.5, total of 142.5 here.
And when you look at Baylor, they, of course, had that long layoff. They were off from 3 weeks, February 2nd to the 23rd. So I'm not going to necessarily give them a demerit because they just barely got by Iowa State, because we knew that that was going to be a bad spot. And Iowa State is still trying to win, I believe, their first conference game, so that they were at least going to be trying. So that set up for an easy Iowa State cover. But now you get Kansas. I don't know if how much Baylor maybe was looking ahead to Kansas, being that they hadn't played for 3 weeks and knowing that they're going to go on the road. Baylor actually was supposed to play West Virginia that Thursday night, too. That got moved as the Big 12 rearranged a bunch of scheduling there. But at this standpoint, I have not bet this. Obviously, that looks like low-hanging fruit to take Baylor. That would make me want to lean Kansas here. But what we've seen in the first matchup, Kansas doesn't have the guards.
Correct.
They just do not have the guards that they usually have that can break down Baylor. Baylor used to run almost exclusively a 2-3 extended zone, but now they're running a lot more man because they have the guys with the length and the wing players that can make that happen. Kansas just doesn't have that guard that's like, okay, I can go get you a bucket and drive to the rim and create something.
Hey, you're absolutely right. That's one thing with KU that's going to be a problem, and I think it's going to continue to be an issue for this team as they go forward, so something to pay attention to. A couple of the intriguing matchups today. This is a good one. Boise State at the Viejas Center taking on San Diego State. Huge blown lead by the Aztecs in this one, West. They go to overtime. They end up, I think, winning by, 12 in that one?
Mm-hmm.
Really a tough break if you had the number at that 6.5 in that game. I expect to see a more concerted effort out of Boise State early in this one. Leon Rice's team got to get Alston going early in this one.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the protocol for the Mountain West this year is you lose that first game and win that second game in terms of teams that are equal talent, not necessarily Air Force against Colorado State or somebody like that. But that would be where I would go here. I would go back to Boise State. I did play them actually on Thursday. Kind of, maybe bad beat's the wrong term. Maybe tough beat is the better term, because San Diego State did have a big lead. Boise State ties it up. Foot was not on the line. It was a 3. So underdog goes to overtime, and we know overtime is where underdogs go to die. And it was all San Diego State one-way traffic in overtime. So Boise State plus 6, I think, is fair. The last game was 6.5. You could have bought up to 7. Not a lot of adjustment here. I'll take Leon Rice's guys in the second game.
I tend to agree with you. This is one to keep an eye out for. Good matchup on paper, at least, between Creighton. They're at the Cintas Center today. They take on Xavier. I'm not a big fan of the Xavier team. Mm-hmm. I saw them early on. They had the COVID interruption. I think this team has been highly inconsistent. Generally speaking, in the past, we've seen them play well, but they don't have some of the same guard play that they've had in years past. I look at Creighton. I think this team is quietly starting to get back on track. I like them. They're dangerous. They blew out DePaul earlier in the week. I'm not giving you a ton of credit for blowing out DePaul, but all I'm saying is I think this Creighton team, once you get into that tournament, their ability to score, Zagrowski, he's got to be really much more consistent for this team offensively.
Yeah, Xavier's been one of those teams that I think have been given the benefit of the doubt in terms of when you look at the projected bracketologies, I think most kind of have them in. You know, slightly still on the bubble, but if you look at what Xavier has done this year, they've really only gotten one what I would consider high-quality win, and that was beating Oklahoma in December because they've had this COVID pause. I mean, they've beaten St. John's and Marquette, but those teams probably aren't in the tournament right now. So Xavier's gotten the benefit of the doubt. So here is the chance for Xavier to really get a statement win. If you believe that they're good enough, then you would take him plus the 4. I thought the number was about right here, to be honest with you. But this is Travis Steele's bunch. I think that their chance to really get a resume win because of this erratic schedule due to COVID-19, Xavier hadn't had the opportunity to play Villanova, which obviously would be your biggest opportunity to get a resume win in the Big East. So probably won't see them until they play in the Garden for the Big East tournament.
Yeah, by the way, I miss the old Big East with Georgetown and Syracuse. To me, that used to be better than the NCAA tournament. It was just unbelievable. But should be a great Big East tournament this year as well. Wes, let's go back to the SEC. Alabama on the road at the hump today. They take on Ben Howland's team. Outside of Stuart Molinar, I don't know if the other three guys are allowed to participate in the offense for Ben Howland. I think they just stand there. Maybe every once in a while we'll let you get an offensive rebound or we'll let you run the lane and fill for a break. But it's all isolation ball for this team, and I think it could be a problem against Nate Oates' squad today. You got to cover Petty. You got to make sure you have a guy on him as soon as he gets into the gym. I think Mississippi State can keep this one close, but I think the Crimson Tide pull away. I'm not going to lay the 6 here, but I like Alabama to win.
Yeah, the number's about right to me. And Mississippi State, I did have them in the meeting in Tuscaloosa where they did end up covering, but that's what Mississippi State does. It's like Howland is zigging when everybody else is zagging because they like to play through the post, and they have a lot of size down low, a couple 6'10 and 6'11 guys down low. So that's the way they want to play. This is not, I think, necessarily a prolific outside shooting team. I think they only take 27% of their shots are three-point shots. That's 337th. In the country. So that means they're pounding it down low, but you look at their percentage, 36%, that's respectable.
Yeah.
But they keep pounding it down low here. So I thought 6 was about right. Pass for me.
Yeah, same here in this matchup. A couple other games I want to touch upon right now in terms of matchups that we're going to see today. USC at Utah at the Huntsman Center. This Trojans team, I was really disappointed in their performance in Colorado the other day, Wes. I thought this team would perform a lot better than they did. Andy Enfield's team's got to get it better. When you look at that front line, Mobley and Mobley, this team is formidable. Mm-hmm. They're terrific defensively, top 6 in field goal percentage defense. They've got to play better, though, on the road.
Yeah, and look, you thought Utah might have been in a spot to get UCLA the other night. They were just a one-point underdog, and UCLA's kind of been erratic in those spots, and it was all Bruins in that game. So they're going to come right back here with USC. But 4.5, it seems like it should be more, but it's not. Which would concern me a little bit. USC, I kind of thought Colorado was going to get them. Colorado is very good at home, and I think needed a win to kind of get right there, and they certainly did, 80-62. Now all of a sudden, USC finds itself in a dogfight. They've been leading the Pac-12 standings pretty much most of the season, but now UCLA is right there with them. So trying to get that number one seed here at the T-Mobile Arena. Actually, UCLA has a half-game lead now over USC. So this might be a stay away for me because I'm tempted by Utah, but it should be USC's game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Quick halftime score in Lubbock. It's right now 33-33 between the Red Raiders and the Longhorns. That's going to do it for us on the pregame show. I want to thank Tom, Tony downstairs, and, of course, Nick and JJ do a terrific job here for us. For Wes Reynolds, I'm Amal Shaw. Betting Across America is going to be next here on VSiN. It's going to be Mike Sennett and Wes Reynolds taking you through along with James Salinas.